morning we come to you trusting that you are all who you say you are. God, would you hold us fast? Would we feel safe with you, Lord? God, this morning, open our ears to hear from your word. God, and move our hearts to trust you more and more. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Good morning. How are you? Good. Good to be with you this morning. I'm Pastor Leslie Volt, pastor of Care and Connection here at Christ Memorial, and I'm delighted to be with you bringing the word this morning in a very big series called The Big Issues. And we are taking some of the top issues that the World Economic Forum surveyed the globe in 2017, and they found out what are the most anxiety-causing issues for people around the world. And we're going after them. So far, we have covered climate change, religious conflicts, poverty, government accountability, and today we will discuss safety and security. So in preparation for this message, I scoured the internet for statistics on global terrorism and on terrorism on American soil. And to be quite honest, the material was daunting. And I thought, well, the opening of a message in church surely shouldn't be to evoke fear in your parishioners. We all know that we live in, now, sometimes a very scary place. And I did not want to engender more fear on a Sunday morning, so I decided that I wasn't going to do it. We're going to go a little bit other direction, knowing that all of us have fears inside of our heart in one way or another. But just as an aside, before I start, I did want to recognize any one of you or us that it is your job to provide safety and security. So police officers, firefighters, military personnel, any sort of security officer, I just wanted to say thank you. And can we give them a round of applause? Thank you for thinking about the things that will keep us safe so that we don't have to think about them every moment of every day. But whether we admit it or not, we all carry a little bit of fear in our lives, whether it's for our physical safety, for us or our children or our parents, our loved ones, or whether it's some other sort of safety and security that we call reality as Westerners. Children are much more honest about their fear than adults, right? As adults, we like to hide our fear and pretend that we're really not as afraid as we are, when I think all of us actually have this inner child. And as you may know, I got married in October, so I am a newlywed. And in marrying my wonderful husband, Bert, who is the finest specimen of masculinity on the planet, he's not in this service. He'll be in next service, so I could say that and hopefully not embarrass him, but he is. I became a bonus mom to two little boys, 11 and 8. And Bert is a phenomenal father, and he was a single parent for almost 5 years. And so I am jumping into this as an instant mom. So I'm learning, and I'm playing catch up. So what's beautiful about my partnership with Bert is that he will usually kind of deflect to me if something may be questionable to see if I'm comfortable with it. So here's an example. The other night, it was late. We had already put the boys down for bed, and Bert and I were getting ready for bed, and it was kind of quiet, and we hear tick, 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 tick. Well, actually, it was more like, because the boys, they could never be hunters because their feet are so heavy. We're like, okay, I wonder which one is it. And Caden, our youngest, our 8-year-old, comes downstairs, and he said, Daddy and Elsie, I'm scared. And we're like, what are you scared about, buddy? And I can't remember what it was. And Bert kind of looks at me like, is it okay if he climbs in bed, or is it okay? And I thought, all right, well, step one. I said, buddy, why don't you grab your pillows and your stuffies and make a little pallet on the floor? So we have a golden doodle that has a 3x2 bed, and the boys love to sleep in the dog bed. So we made this pallet on the dog bed, and yeah, awesome parenting win, right? So he makes this pallet on the dog bed, and he eventually falls asleep. A couple hours later, Bert brings him in his own bed. Middle of the night, comes down, Daddy, Elsie, I'm still scared. again, half sleepy, Bert rolls over and I was like, come on, buddy, climb in bed. And I am a physical touch person, so I actually really, really love it. He comes in and he's got this big bear and his panda bears and his blanket, and this 8-year-old boy is taking up 2/3 of the bed. And he just wanted to be close to us, right? I kept waking up in the middle of the night and going to roll over and realizing that my child is next to me. He doesn't snore, but he does kick a little bit. And he's got this little boy puppy dog breath. Do you know what I'm talking about? He's got that. But when I would roll over, he would grab onto me. And I would think, you know what? He's 8 years old. We're not going to have very much longer of this. I can forego one night of sleep to snuggle with this little boy. Caden wasn't afraid to tell us that he was scared and he came in and he wanted to be held. We provided a place of comfort for this little boy when he had fear, whether it was real fear or imaginary. And so this morning, I'd like to share together a biblical account of how three men handled their fear by putting their trust in God. So let's go ahead and look at Daniel chapter 3. I'm going to give you a little bit of background, and then we're going to jump into the middle of the text. So we'll be looking at the entire chapter, verses 1 through 30. So we're jumping in here. The Israelites had been taken captive in Babylon and forced to serve under King Nebuchadnezzar. Only a handful of Israelites had remained loyal to God. And so King Nebuchadnezzar built this towering gold statue in order to be a place of worship, and he required that everyone bow down and worship this golden idol. And if anyone refused, they would be thrown into a fiery furnace, cast away to death. Now, this was a real fear. Disobedience led to death. But three men who were friends of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had refused. They had a firm foundation in their faith, and they were loyal to their God, Yahweh, the one true God. And they were caught. They were caught not worshiping the golden statue, and they were turned over to Nebuchadnezzar. So let's pick up the story at that point. Can we have the text on the screen? Great. Hear these words. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude towards them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the fiery furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent, and the furnace was so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who stood up to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That really stinks for them. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leapt to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, your majesty." He said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like a son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire. And the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors, basically all the important people, crowded around them. And they saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was there a single hair on their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their own lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces, and their houses be turned into a pile of rubble." This guy was pretty violent. "And no other god can save in this way. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego in the province of Babylon. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So there's many aspects of this story that we could unpack this morning. Worshiping false idols, submission and defying authority, which went along with Pastor Jim's message last week, God's ability to change one's mind through the power of his spirit. But there's one thing I want to drive home this morning. And if you only take away one thing from my message, or if you're barely listening, listen right now. This is my bottom line. You ready? Go ahead and put it up. God's presence is with us in the fire, even if he doesn't deliver us from the fire. Powerful, right? Can you put that one back up? Let's say it together. The last slide for me, please. Ready? Let's say it together. God's presence is with us in the fire, even if he doesn't deliver us from the fire. Powerful. I want to unpack this statement, and I'm going to do it backwards, okay? So let's start with even if he doesn't. Most of us are highly unlikely to be in jeopardy of losing our lives for our faith, especially since most of us live in West Michigan. So we don't really literally have to say, God, deliver us from a burning fire. But how about these? Even if he doesn't protect me from terrorism, even if he doesn't save my marriage, even if he doesn't heal my child, even if he doesn't provide me with a new job, even if he doesn't give me a relationship with my estranged father, even if he doesn't rescue my spouse from addiction. Whatever your even if he doesn't is, are you willing to say, I will never serve any other God except the one true God, Yahweh, even if he doesn't? Maybe you're facing a crisis today wondering why God hasn't stepped into your circumstances. Maybe your faith is wavering because you're in the midst of a situation that leaves you wondering, where in the world is God right now? Why hasn't he rescued you? Why hasn't he moved on your behalf? Maybe you're floundering in fear of the what if. What if this happens? If this happens, I can't go on. I will simply be destroyed. And maybe you're wondering if you'll ever even be able to serve this God you once loved during times of uncertainty. You see, in order to have an even if he doesn't kind of faith, we must know God's character, right? And how do we know God's character? Through relationship. Through relationship. Lucy, the youngest girl in the book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, poses a question, hoping to hear the promise of safety as defined by the world when she hears about Aslan. Hear these lines quoted from the book. Aslan is the lion, the great lion. Ooh, said Susan. I thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion. Safe, said the beaver. Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you. He's good. Even if his ways don't make sense, he's good. Even if he doesn't deliver you from your very worst fear, he's good. Let's go back to the bottom line for a second. God's presence is with us in the fire. So what do we know about the promises of God to be with us? And I just chose a few scriptures. Scripture is colored with examples of how God will protect us and be with us. But I wanted to share a few with you. So just listen to these words. The first one is from Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. 2 Samuel 22:3. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge, and my savior. From violent people, you, God, save me. Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, ever-present help in times of trouble. Psalm 91, Gary read this morning. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will find rest under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare, from the deadly pestilence. I love this part. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. And one from the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. So what does it mean for us to agree with these scriptures and believe that they're so and believe God at His word? I'll tell you what I want it to mean. I want it to mean that God will keep me from all things scary, that God will keep me from tragedy, that God will keep my loved ones always safe, that God will keep me from heartache. Friends, life is scary. Personally, I don't choose to watch scary movies because I'm kind of a wuss. All I had to do was watch Goonies when I was like 8 years old and I was done with scary movies. And I know that's not even really a scary movie, but I feel like there is so much real fear in the world that I don't need to put more fear in my life by watching it. Just my personal preference. But God doesn't always provide that kind of safety and security. A couple months ago, there was a school shooting in Indianapolis and around the Indianapolis area, and I went to school in Anderson, Indiana for my undergrad, and I had friends that actually taught at that school, and so they firsthand experienced a school shooting, and we were talking about it with the boys at dinner, and Caden had said, Elsie, how do we know that's not going to happen to us? Hard question, right? 8 years old? And we said, buddy, we don't. We're going to do our very best, and your teachers and principal is going to do their very best, but we know that God is with us no matter what. No matter what scary things happen, no matter what happens to us, God is holding us in the palm of His hands, and because of that, we don't need to be afraid. So if God doesn't always provide physical safety or protection from our worst nightmares, what can we count on Him to do? We can count on God to be the calm in the chaos. We can count on God to be the perspective when we're perplexed. We can count on God to be the peace when we're wrecked, the joy in the midst of our sorrow, and the hope when we feel defeated. The words of Jesus, in this world, what? You will have trouble. Sorry, Lord, I wish you would have left that one out. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Wow. Have you ever experienced miraculous provision or safety or security? I have. It's awesome, right? A couple minutes sooner, you would have missed that red light. A miraculous recovery in the hospital. Supernatural provision financially. Unbelievable. God displaying His majesty right before us. That's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego experienced. But that doesn't always happen. And as a Care and Connection pastor, I live in this place every day. Pastor Leslie, why? why did this happen? Why is this happening? And I don't have the answer. One of my favorite quotes, it is not original to me, but it's, we may never understand the why, but we always will know the who. And the who surpasses the why. Has God ever met you in your pain? Has God ever sustained you through things that you didn't even think you could make it through? There's been times in my life, and many that I've already shared with you, where I was afraid and I thought, God, I don't even know how I'm going to make it. And it was in those moments that out of relationship, I felt the nearness of God, and I found more safety in those moments than if the physical presence and protection was there. So finding safety in God may not be protection from our pain, but it is always protection in our pain. I want to give you an analogy, okay? And it's not perfect, so give me some grace. But my therapist gave this to me, and she's phenomenal. The physician versus the midwife, okay? I want you to think about a woman in labor, in deep labor, and she is ready to have this baby, right? The role of the physician is to come in and possibly administer meds to deliver that baby as safely and securely as possible, and give the prize, the baby, to the mother and the father, right? That's what we want. And then hopefully afterwards get some more drugs to feel a little better. The role of the midwife is to come alongside the mother-to-be and coach her, put her hand on her back, rub her back, bring her ice chips when she needs ice chips, encourage her and say, you can do this. You can do it. You're not alone. God works in both of these ways, right? Sometimes God is the physician where he comes and delivers us like that. And other times, he's the midwife that never leaves your side. The next idea I want to tease out for us is one called rationalization versus relationship. So fear is a primary emotion, okay? And fear was actually one of the first results of sin, if you will, right? So Adam and Eve wanted to be like God, and they sinned. Then what? They felt shame and fear, so they hid. You can't rationalize someone out of fear. You can't come as an outsider or as a person and say, oh, you shouldn't be afraid. That's not very scary, because whatever that person is experiencing is a very real fear. So my son Caden, when he came in, he was afraid. It didn't matter if I said, sweetie, there's no monsters under your bed. There's a hall light on. He was feeling fear. But what broke through that fear? Relationship. Relationship and proximity. So Caden coming in and being enveloped by his mom, bonus mom, and dad, that's where he found safety. So how could Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be so brave? Proximity with their God. Relationship with their God. They knew that no matter what, God was with them. So they would either find deliverance in the physical or safety in the fire and ultimately glory in God, in heaven with God. This is what God does when we're afraid. He steps into the situation with us, and he wraps his arms around us, or as Psalm 91, he covers his feathers over us, and we get to nestle up close to him and feel the warmth. And out of that relationship is where we find safety and security. I'd like to read a quote to you from Beth Moore in her study called Anointed, Transformed, and Redeemed. Hear these words. She says, unhealthy fear runs from God and recoils at the thought of trusting him. It associates God more with pain than praise. It sees him as an angry God to appease rather than a wise and holy father we need to obey, but whom we can also trust. Unhealthy fear associates the glory of God solely with the agony of man. It believes that his gain always means our pain. Oh, if we could only comprehend that his gain cannot fail to be ours, whether or not our pain is involved in the worthy process. God can never do himself right and do his children wrong. The glory and the goodness are inseparable. We're scared to live fully surrendered to God because we're afraid it might kill us. If only we understood that any part of us crucified in doing God's will becomes a hotbed for resurrection power. Where we die to self, the Spirit of Christ is raised up. So ultimately, our safety and security comes in no matter what happens, we belong to God. Is he safe? No, but he's good. So today we've discovered that regardless of our circumstances, it's God's presence in our lives that provides our safety and security. It's out of relationship that our fear is pierced and broken. So how might we be moving to make Christ Memorial a place of safety and security for the outside world? How might our relationships with others introduce them to the relationship of God? If you've ever experienced the safety and security of God, which if you've been following God for 5 minutes, I believe you probably have, you can't keep them to yourself, right? What if this was a place where all the fears of the outside world, people could come in and feel the safety and security of God through our love? What if they felt it through you being a greeter at the door, or a shuttle driver in the parking lot, or a small group leader, or a care partner, whose very job, you know what their job is to join someone in suffering through relationship and walk with them through that pain. God provides safety and security, and you know what, friends? He invites us to do the same. We have that to offer. Because we have Jesus Christ living inside of us, we can be agents of safety and security for others. So, if you are interested, if you feel God tugging on your heart, you know what? I can do that. I've experienced God's safety in my life. I would love to do that for other people. If you've got a smile and the gift of hospitality, we would love for you to be on the Connections team. And there are so many more roles than just being a greeter, but that's one of them. There's the welcome kiosk, there's floaters, there's other aspects of hospitality. Eventually, we'll need small group leaders, people that want to help with community events. That's a way that you could be the very first person. Someone comes in and says, you know what? I think that person is a safe person because they embody the love of Jesus. And if you have the gift of compassion and you would love to join someone going through a hard time and listen to their pain and pray with them, maybe visit them in the hospital. Maybe you have the gift of financial counseling and they're in a financial turmoil. If you could join someone in their suffering as the light of Christ, what a gift. What a gift. And that's the invitation I leave you with today. Will you be a person of safety and security at Christ Memorial? Would you pray with me? Lord, even though we can't say that you are always safe, we can surely say that you are good. God, I thank you that sometimes you are the physician that comes and delivers us and sets us free. And other times, Lord, you're the midwife that holds our hand the entire way through. God, wherever we're at in our relationship with you, would you take us deeper to a deeper place of trust that in you is our hope, that no matter what happens, you've got us. For we declare this day, God, that you are with us. Your presence is with us always. Amen.